Hello, welcome to another episode of my podcast, The Belsey Black and White, Past and Present. I'm joined tonight by one of the goalkeepers at the club, Eddie Flynn. Eddie also doubles up as a goalkeeping coach. So, evening, Eddie, how are you?
I'm the badger, sir, Willie.
I'm very well, thank you, and thanks for coming on.
No, it's an absolute privilege.
I've been trying to catch up with you for a while, but you know, one thing gets leads to the other and you start struggling to get things done. But you're here now. So, before we get started out in your story, Eddie, it was a bit rothish yesterday. We ground out a good 3-0 win.
Aye.
What was your thoughts on the game?
I thought we played really, really well. We had an intensity that was not lacking throughout the season, but the bits of the games were really good. But Rothes, everything just seemed to be collected, and we just seemed to have that little bit of a burn, a little bit of fire that the Brock was missing this season. It looks like, I think, a good kickstart season again.
It was a good plan. The only downside was Biggs got his nose broken. Any update?
No update. I just know it's a nice wee little nose he's got there now. I think he's got to wait till the swelling goes down before he goes to the hospital, but I don't know. I think it's just a clean little flick it back into pace and he'll be fine. I think he's going to have a couple of black eyes, though.
Well, he'll be a true centre-half now if he's got a broken.
Yeah. they're all ugly, aren't they, centre-halves? Let's praise our goalkeepers.
Well, speaking of goalkeepers, Eddie, when did you start out playing in Fibber and Farad?
So, my earliest memory would have been Primary 1, Stuartfield Primary School. They had a really good football setup, and my sister went to the training. I think she was 4 years old, she was P5, but I really wanted to be part of it, but I was too young. So I was like coming along, but I wasn't allowed to play games because I was too young. It wasn't until about Primary 3 that's when I started actually playing football for my primary school, and it kind of kicked off from there. Joined Mittenlow Boys Club when I was about, must have been about 6 or 7, I think.
Okay.
7 or 8, yeah. And I just started there.
And fun, did you venture in between the sticks? Or was you always a keeper? Or did you play out first, then venture out the sticks?
I played out field. Never really thought about being a goalkeeper. The goalkeeper was the one you just chucked in. Like, probably the worst player you think. You put it in the goal, you'd be fine. I played Mintler Boys Club. And I think I was there for a couple of years. But I was a big kid back then, so they thought I could move me up a year of group. So I went and played with much older boys, and I started to feel like I was getting a bit bullied because I'm not as big as them. And so I was like, I don't like playing outfield. So I thought, well, I might try going in goals. So I asked my dad if he could kind of show me how to be a goalkeeper. And it just stuck. It seemed to, like a duck to water. I just seemed to actually be pretty good at it. Well, I could say pretty good at it, but I was actually all right at it.
Okay. You said you asked your dad about a goalie. Was he a goalie in his heyday?
No, oh God, far from it. But he was someone that I would always go to the park with and just kick the ball about. And he was like, at that age, he was someone I thought knew everything. So I thought he could teach me what I could do. But yeah, basics, how to catch, how to kick a ball, how to just dive about in the goal, just diving in the mud. That's all I enjoyed doing. Just getting muddy, just diving, get a ball hit you, just something about it that's just enjoyable.
They say you have to be a wee bit mad to be between the sticks.
Yeah, it? Yeah. A wee screw loose now and then, but...
started playing competitive. Can you remember when you started your first sort of competitive game as a goalie?
It would have been under-12s at Ellen Meadows. I would have been. I got put up another age group again, so I joined Ellen Meadows under-12s when I was 10. And that was... It was under-12s? Yeah, under-12s was when they went straight into 11-a-side goals. So okay. I literally jumped into the deep end, going from 7-a-side goals straight into 12-a-side, 11-a-side, so not 12-a-side, 11-a-side goals. And my first ever game was against Sheddixley. And I actually looked back and saw a picture of myself, and I must have been about 4 foot tall. And these goals look gigantic. I couldn't even imagine how, like, you could even save anything in those goals. It's just, you could put it in the corner and it was in. I was that small.
So I guess you wasn't touching the crossbar then?
Oh, no, I don't think I didn't touch the crossbar until I was like 23. No, but yeah, I was tiny, but it didn't stop me. I just loved getting diving in the mud, just diving about. It just becomes a bit of an addiction, I think.
So looking back, switching from the 7-a-side to the 11-a-side at that early year, did that help you or hinder, do you think?
Helped me. I think what I've realised throughout my career, throughout my whole footballing career, is that I've kind of done stuff earlier than I should be doing it. And I think it's benefited me a lot. Kind of helped you kind of just kind of jump in the deep end, see if you can swim, and then just learn to swim and catch up and get up to that speed. So I think it was really a good positive effect on me.
That's good. Because going for 7-a-side goals, which are manageable, the big 11-a-side, as you say, I just look lost in some of those.
Yeah.
And if goals, balls flying past you, it can be a rich confidence damage as well for some folk.
It can be, but I think at that age, I was just, because I enjoyed it so much, I didn't care. I would just, our team, Ellen Meadows, we were terrible. We would be at the bottom of the league every season, conceding so many goals. But yeah, I'd always come up with a smile on my face, just enjoy myself. But Mum always tell me a story about how I'd come home, because I was football, lost 13-0. It's like, why are you so happy? Because I don't know, I just love it.
Just enjoyed it.
Just enjoyed it, yeah. It wasn't about the competition back then for me. It was just about kicking the ball about.
So how long did you stay with that team for?
So Ellen Meadows, I was there for 3 years until under four, fifth. It would have been just before under 15s.
Okay.
I was there for 3 years, and I could have moved to during that time, but I was one of those people that I just thought, oh, I'm just having fun with my mates. I wouldn't move. But it wasn't until I went up to academy, that's when I moved team.
All right, okay. And what sort of team did he hit the academy?
At the academy, we had Alec Mayers at our helm, leading us. We had our year was, we had an all right year at school. I think we were one of the smallest years to actually go in, as in like amount of people. And it was an all right team. We weren't the greatest, but again, it was just one of those playing, having fun. I don't think anyone in that team actually has gone on to do anything significant in football. I think I'm probably the person that's only gone on to play Highland League.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think, aye, that's about right.
That's interesting, because usually you hear, this guy went here, that guy went to there. It's interesting to hear that nobody progressed.
Yeah, apart from... nobody at all. It's
a bit unusual, that.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. Looking back at it, there's a few players you thought they were good, but I think it's just that at age, you get to that certain point where either you want to play football or you just kind of get disinterested, and a lot of them just couldn't be bothered.
Mm-hmm. So how was you progressing as a keeper by this time, Eddie?
I think I was getting more confident. There was a lot more eyes on me back then. I was a 13-year-old boy, 12, 13-year-old kid, and I was very tall. So I've always been like the biggest when I was being grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was good. It was the move from Ellen Meadows to Lewis United. So moving from Ellen Meadows, that was when I noticed that I started actually, I'm actually pretty good at this. Started getting more kind of people recognizing my name a little bit.
Okay. How did that move come about for you?
So we played Kincorth for Ellen Academy? For Mintlaw Academy. We're playing, I think it was like a lunchtime game, if I remember rightly. And one of the dads was a coach at Lewis United. And he noticed that, who's his big lad? He came up to me after the game because his son was talking about, how good I was because he couldn't score against me. And so I just kind of bowed off. I kind of feel a bit weird when I get complimented. So, cheers, thanks. But he goes, who do you play for? He goes, I play for Ellie Mellon Meadows. He goes, would you be interested in coming to join for us? I was like, I don't know. I felt a bit weird kind of leaving Ellen Meadows after being 3 years with them, thinking, I can't really just leave them. But went for like a little trial with them for one day, and they just went, can we sign you? He's like, sure. And never looked back since. Went and joined Lewis United.
Good. And what was Dad saying about your progression this time?
He noticed a big difference in me. He noticed that I was... The last year at Ellen Meadows, I was kind of keeping us more in games because I was progressing. I was getting more comfortable in the sticks, getting taller as well. So I was able to touch that crossbar now, which does help. But yeah, I was a lot confident, a bit more confident, kind of more understanding of how to play in goals. But yeah, as soon as I joined Leeds United, I actually got proper goalie training. I actually got taught how to do stuff properly. And I think that's definitely what started kickstarting where I went off after that.
Give you a different thought process to a different approach to the game.
Aye, exactly. Just a different viewpoint, a different idea of how goalkeeping should be. And yeah, best way you can be to progress yourself.
That lads at Leeds United must be a good influence on you. Anyone else a good influence here, apart from your dad up to this time?
We had a family, my mate's dad, he used to be a goalie. I think he played for Banff Rovers back in the day. He was really influential. He was helping with little bits in there, showing me what I should do, how to catch, all that type of stuff. Just little bits there and here and there, just helping out. But it was, when I went to Lewis, it was Colin Cockle. Do you know when you get the coach with a lot of kids? He was the goalie equivalent of that. So it's like a lot of goalies went to him on like a weeknight. Like a little course kind of thing. And excuse me. And that's when I started learning my trade a little bit, actually understanding how to actually dive properly, how to actually move my feet, how to catch ball. But he was like the biggest influence at that age.
And you've coached you to get newfound confidence in the game as well.
Exactly that, yeah. It does help when you've got a team in front of you that can actually defend. And we won like that, probably the best in the whole Northeast in our age group. We just dominated everything. So that just strikes even more confidence when you're keeping clean sheets every weekend.
It's a big difference for getting gobbed 13-0 to suddenly going winning games.
it's a bit of contrast.
And this must be a really stupid question. You said when you were losing 13-0, you were really loving and enjoying your game. Were you still loving it now, or were you loving it more because you were successful at it as well?
Oh, loving it more because I was successful. You're pulling off saves in Ellen and you're still losing. But then when you go to lose, you're pulling off some saves and you're winning. So it actually feels like you're contributing. Mm-hmm. It's like you're actually doing some good for the team. It's just, even though it went from facing about 40 shots a game to probably facing about 10, if that, it's still, it's the confidence just oozed out of me because I had a team in front of me that was good. I felt good. I was not conceding every weekend. Yeah.
Life is good. So you were saying you're getting 40 shots against you, suddenly reduced to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you're not quite so busy. Mm-hmm. How do you keep your concentration during that game when you're not so busy as you've been used to being?
Yeah, that was the biggest kind of shock, was actually realizing, oh, I have to actually keep concentrated. It took me a while. I think my concentration didn't get better until I was like maybe 17, 18. That's when I started kind of understanding the best way to do it. Commentating on the game, I like to do in my head, like kind of what's happening in front of me, thinking what the player's going to do. But that didn't come until I got older. When I was younger, it was literally just wake up. Oh, I got to do this now. Oh, I got to do it. It's just more reactive. Active, trying to understand where it's going to go in time.
It must be hard to keep your concentration if you're not so busy.
Well, it's like, have you seen that thing with Aaron Ramsdale? He was talking about how he can't concentrate for 90 minutes. He's got to kind of like switch off for a little bit. So I think he was talking about how he'd give jib to the fans behind him. He wouldn't concentrate for 90 minutes.
That's a hard thing to deconcentrate for 90 minutes.
It is a hard thing, but it shows you those keepers at the elite level compared to those that don't really make it.
That can be fine differences. Now, at your sort of age, most young lads say boyhood heroes have seen playing. Were you heroes, or did you hate heroes, and were they goalkeepers?
I think my earliest memory of a goalkeeping hero, I think it's the most random one ever, but I'd loved Artur Boric when I was growing up.
Oh, a good keeper.
The big holy goalie. Because my family were big Celtic daft, and I just remember now and then seeing Celtic games and always watched sports team religiously when I was younger. And Artur Boric, because the reason I loved him was that he'd make a mistake and he would just smile and just go on with it.
Mm-hmm.
As a young kid, you're like, oh, it's okay to make a mistake. because it's not the end of the world. Yes, you're annoyed, you made a mistake, but you still got a game to play. That's what I just liked about Boric. She played, pulled off some big saves and just didn't care, just played what he loved.
And that would resonate with you because that's how you were. You just love playing the
football. Exactly. That's when I was young. When I was young, just loved doing what I do. Could see 13 goals. Like, hey, who cares? I might be having fun doing what I love.
It's a great attitude because conceding 13 goals, I can drive people into the game. I'm fed up with this malarkey. I'm just not going to turn up this week.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I do have a screw loose, that's for sure.
So, watching Arthur Boric, is it Arthur Boric? I'm not sure how you pronounce
it. Arthur Boric.
Did you try and take on his style into your play?
Yeah, he was big on the starfish. You know what Peter Schmeichel used to do when he was there? Boric used to do a lot of that. So I would always try and, whenever I go on a 1v1, if I was saving a shot like that, it would literally just stand up big and just take the hit. And again, as I said, I just, for some reason, don't know what it is about a ball hitting you. It just feels a bit quite, it's like a big boost when a ball hits you. And I just like that whole style he does, just stand up big, spread yourself and just take the hit.
Thing is, if a ball hits you 9 times out of 10, it's snagging in the net, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. You're right here. The first keeper I ever remember seeing standing big was Schmeichel.
Yeah.
And of course, Billy Gordon, one of your predecessors, he was superb at it as well.
Mm. Yeah, because Schmeichel came from handball, so it's quite interesting seeing how he brought that into it and how it's influenced keepers since.
It's maybe a defensive move in handball, can stand and try to block.
Aye, yeah.
Some goal. So you're going with Lewis United.
Aye.
And how long do you say that? Did you say they won a league in the first year?
We did. We won the league the first year I was there. We won quite a lot that year. I think we won every single cup we were in. We won the League Cup, got the semis or the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup. That was probably the most annoying bit of it. We had a team that could have won it, but they actually won it the year I left. But we did have a really good team.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. We went down to a tournament down in Haggerston near Berwick. And we went through the whole tournament without losing and without conceding a goal. That's how good our team was. And we were playing like teams from England and like teams from Wales came up and everything.
Fantastic. You must have been well chuffed with that.
Yeah, I was very well chuffed. It was the best team in Aberdeen, the best team in the whole Northeast that we were in that period.
Very good. What's clicking in the background, Ed?
Oh, sorry. That was... A little tablet packet I've got. It kept clicking. I'm a fidgeter. Sorry about that.
All right. No, I just wonder if it was typing. This little microphone picks up everything. So how long did you buy me Lewis United?
So I was there for 2 years. I joined second year school. And while I was there, I was also on trial with Aberdeen. So the amount of times that Lewis United, I was still there with Aberdeen on trial there. So I was jumping in between those two for training.
Okay. And then
I was, after the 1 year at Lewis, Aberdeen wanted to sign me, but I didn't want to leave Lewis because, again, it was that idea in my head, oh, I've only been there a year, I don't want to leave them straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stayed on for 2 years.
Okay. And how did your session at Petorite work out for you?
So it was a weird one. I've never got signed by Aberdeen. I was always on trial. They would always, I think it was a Monday night, I'd go through to Aberdeen and train with them. I was with three other keepers, if I remember. Robbie Much was one of them. He's now playing down at Ayr United. What's the boy's name? The goalkeeper for Brechin. Can't remember his name now. He was there as well when I was training with Aberdeen. So two keepers have gone on to actually do some bits. But again, I never got signed, so I just trained with them. I never really got a kit, even though I was always told, oh, we'll get you a kit so you don't look out of place. But never really got a kit. But it was good because my goal coach then was can I not remember his name? I can see his face, but I can't see his, remember his name. That's annoying.
I know the feeling.
He's a goalie coach at Cooter for a bit. Years ago. That's annoying me. I had his name in my tip of my tongue and I can't remember it. But yeah, he was a really big influence. He was the one that taught me that you've always got to clean your gloves no matter what. Just a dirty gloves means you're a dirty, well, not dirt keeper, but like it doesn't show that you care about your profession. So I'd always clean my gloves before training and always clean my gloves before a football game.
What sort of keeper? Were you a vocal keeper? Were you in command of your box, or were you quiet?
No, I was a very much a quiet keeper. I was just a shot stopper. That was what I loved doing.
Okay.
I wasn't very good at coming for cross balls. I wasn't very good. I was good at sweeping and kicking the ball and having the ball at my feet. I was quite actually good at that. But I wasn't very good at coming out for crosses. Or I grew into it. It was I grew. It was again. It was loose night that I grew into it. That had to speak. And but that took yeah a few years for me to kind of develop that side of me again.
So, as a former centre half myself, it was good to have a vocal keeper behind you, so you didn't hit that. You understood what you wanted you to do, and he shouted. So, I liked a vocal keeper. Some defenders didn't like a vocal keeper, but I suppose it's either in you or me, and you need to be vocal.
Yeah, I was always taught that be vocal because if you're, it kind of makes you more of a presence. I was told that the more louder you are, the more you speak, the more you make yourself kind of part of the game. It kind of puts the striker off a little bit. Maybe it's like a bit more psychological keeper. It shows you're confident if you're speaking all the time, even if it's utter garbage you're talking. But yeah, I was always taught that it was keep speaking no matter what. Just make sure that people know that you're there no matter what.
Just keep chuntering
Yeah.
away. And add that to standing big from the striker one on one. It's a difficult proposition getting past a goalie if he doesn't commit himself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Makes it harder for him, and you say the bar thumps off you 9 times out of 10, it's going off for a corner or whatever, but nine
Yeah,
goals.
exactly, yeah.
Good. So, in your up till now, what's your longest match run with clean sheets? Did you ever keep stats like
What was that, sorry?
to this point in your career, did you ever keep stats on how much clean sheets you had? Can, as a young lad, who was.
No. I never really kept stats at all. I just kind of went into each game as it was. I could try and look back at it, but I remember one game we won 29-0.
Wow.
Yeah. Everyone in the team scored, barring me in the left back. That was a
29-0.
yeah. It was a. I actually almost scored as well. I just absolutely wellied the ball when it came back to me, and it just bounced past the post. But yeah, that was the one game that came stuck in my head. That's just how good we were. We were just steamrolled teams. I remember we played. I think it was like the Cove B team, and we played in this really tight pitch, and our manager was like, "Ah. Oh, it's too many players." So he asked the referee if he could play with eight. So we played with eight and they played with 11 and we won 6-0.
Oh,
Yeah. It's just that's just ridiculous how good our team was.
very good. So, when did you call time on that team? When did you decide to leave?
So I left that team after my second year. So 2013 it would have been if I'm right. Aberdeen wanted me, but I felt a bit kind of disjointed with them because I was kind of getting a bit pushed around a little bit. I would turn up to training when training wasn't happening. So I traveled all the way into Aberdeen to then have to travel all the way back without being told it was on. So I kind of a bit disheartened. But while I was in my second year at Lewis, St Johnston, a scout came up and got in contact with my coach asking, oh, what's up with him? What's he doing? So in 2013, about I think it was March time in 2013, I got asked to go down to Perth and trial with the youth team at St Johnstone. So 2013, and then I signed in 2014. 2014, sorry, I signed 2013 that summer.
Okay, and how did that work out?
It was good. I went down. So in the March, I trialed. It was just a training session. I was with the under 20s, so I was training with them, play with them. I was about, I think I just turned 15, or I was 14 going on 15. I was with under 20s, just trying to train with them and apparently left a good impression that they wanted to sign me. It's quite interesting that that under-20s team, I think there's three of them playing high in the league right now. Stilly playing for Huntley. Greg Mitchell is at Locals, and the keeper for Keith Craig, can't remember his last name. Those three were there when I was there, like when I was trialing. But then when I got signed in the summer, they'd been moved on. That was like a completely different team to what I was seeing in March.
Who was the manager, St. Johnson, at that time?
That time it moved, it was Tommy Wright. I think Steve Lomas just left and Tommy took over.
Big Irish fella, wasn't it?
Aye, big Tommy, the Northern Irish. He was also a goalie.
Was he?
He was, I can't remember, he played quite a lot of big teams actually, Tommy Wright. But yeah, he was a big keeper.
Good. So, what was your learning at St. Johnston?
That was when I think I learned everything I had today. So I would go down. So my team, under-18s, trained on a Wednesday, but there was no way I could get down on a Wednesday night and back up for school like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we devised a plan that I'd go down on the Friday. Friday morning, I'd go down, train with under-20s on the Friday morning, stay over Saturday, depending if there's a game on the Saturday or not. If it's a home game, then you'd go to the ground and help get everything sorted. And then Sunday, I'd play with my under-18s. So I was training with the under-20s on the Friday, but I was also training with the first team goalies on a Friday because St. John's is not a huge club, so there's only two keepers. At that time, there was only two first team keepers, an under-20s keeper, and then there was me.
Okay.
So us four would be training together on a Friday. That's where I've developed a lot. I got to train with proper professional goalkeepers because at the time it was Alan Manis was the number one then, and it was Steve Banks was the goalie coach, strike number two. Xander Clark was there, but he was out on loan. I think he was down at Queen of the South at the time.
Okay.
I only ever met Xander at pre-season because he'd go off and train with Queen of the South, and then the under-20s goalie was Mark Hurst, but he quit football. He was actually on the brink of going into the first team. He was on the bench quite a lot. He was destined to go well, but he just kind of got fed up with football and left and moved to America. But yeah, that's where I trained every weekend for a whole year.
Well, you've been learning some good stuff with that lad, haven't you?
Yeah, learned a lot with those lads. It was just a huge learning curve, thinking a 15-year-old getting to train with first team players. Just like even some shooting practices I'd be in, get chucked in with the first team, and likes of Stevie May and Michael O'Halloran absolutely pelting balls at you. Kind of, you've got to kind of grow up a bit fast.
So as a 15-year-old lad doing it, St. Johnson, training with the first team goalies, how do you keep your feet in the ground?
Good question. You just kind of, I actually don't know. You just kind of, I just got on with it. I kind of think, right, I'm here to learn. Just do it. I want to learn my trade. I want to do that. And it felt quite good because I felt as part of them. Like, I was there for a whole season with them, and I just felt part of with them. I used to get called Adam Bogdan. Remember the goalkeeper, Bolton?
Oh,
big ginger boy. Yeah, I used to get called him because I was ginger and I looked like Bogdan. So I used to get called Boggers. Or Eddie the Seagull used to call me as well because I was up for the Brock. Trying to got me at ease. I just felt like I was part of them. Just learning my trade. That's all I was. I was just eager to learn. I wasn't in awe, but I just thought, oh, I'm here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. I just want to kind of button down and get as much, learn as much as I can.
And keep doing your mantra. Keep enjoying it.
Keep enjoying it. That's exactly it. Keep enjoying it as much as I can and just live in the moment.
So how long did you say you were at St. John's? About 1 year, is that what you said?
Yeah, it was just the 1 year, unfortunately, which is quite annoying, but that's how football goes. But it was a really good year, great year. That was the year they won the Scottish Cup for the first time.
Okay, oh well. Was you there when they did it?
Yeah, it's quite nice that all the youth players got given a ticket if they wanted to go. So they got a bus on, went down to Perth, got a bus over. watched them lift the cup, which was good. I went back to Perth and I was waiting for my mum and dad to come pick me up when the team bus came in, and they got off, and I heard a Eddie. Is it turned around, he goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just waiting to get picked up." He goes, "Oh, come inside Wells then." It's like, "What?" So Banksy was like, "Oh, come, just come inside Wells and just come inside." It's like, "Okay." So I came over and I was having went into the function room, and yeah, I was there with the Scottish Cup and the Scottish Cup St Johnstone winning team. I was actually out on the terrace bit with all the fans on the pitch, just me and my hoodie and my jeans, just chilling with the team. Don't
Fantastic.
know, yeah, just no, I had no right being there, but because I was there for that whole season, they just invite me in. He goes, "Oh, you're part of the goalie team. Come in." It's like, "Oh,
Brilliant. You've been feeling like $1 million,
yeah." I didn't know what to do. I was like, as if everyone else is in their suits, and here's me just in my little polo and my jeans and my shirt. It's just it was all in all, but it was just yeah, it was just that club. It's a very community-based club
Mm-hmm.
that everyone was there together. We weren't a big squad. There was no real egos. Everyone was just there to get a job done. And yeah, it's always something I always got to keep in my memory.
Well, I'm just going to say it's a memory that you'll never ever forget.
Aye, exactly, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So you must be close on your 16 at this time, are you?
Yeah, so I turned 16 in March, and then I got let go in the pre-season of the 2014-15 season. So that would have been about June, mid-June, I would have got let go. We just turned 16.
Okay, so you've got let go here. How big a blow to the confidence is that?
It was a huge blow. Just the idea that I sacrificed all that hard work, sacrificed my weekends, like went down there, trained all you hard you can, just shows that you can work hard, although it's not gonna, it might not work, it might do work, but it's just how you respond to it. That's how important thing about it is, how it goes bad.
But you've come away with a year's experience and a much better keeper for having that year at St Johnstone.
Yeah. I was a 16-year-old that got to train with first team keepers and learn a trade. And
Fantastic.
yeah.
So where's your boots taking you to now?
So that's when I came to the Brough.
Okay, how did that come about, Eddie?
So Alec was always, was I'm a teacher at school. So Alec was always asking me, how's St Johnstone doing? Asking me about all that. And it was so school. So yeah, so I got let go in June and school was still on. So I just went to Alec. He goes, "Oh, because I remember he was talking about the Brock. I was part of the Brock. He asked, I actually trained with the Brock years and years ago when I was a young kid. It was a community thing. I remember Alec asked me to come along to that. But yeah, I just went to him and goes, "Oh, I got let go from the Johnson. Is it able to like, train with the Brock or something?" He goes, "Yeah, come along." So pardon me. I think, did I train or did I just go straight into a game? I think the first time I ever went with Brock was Cove. We played Cove under 18s. That was the first game I'd ever played since I got dropped for St Johnstone. And I think we lost about 4-0. And I had like four clangers. Like, oh my God, they were horrendous. Came from across, dropped it. Boy just tapped it in. Tried to smother a ball. I went over the ball and went underneath me. It was like, oh, it was horrific. It was bad. And for some reason, Chris Hunter signed me and gave me a Mars bar for a sign-on fee. I always remember
A whole Mars bar.
that. A whole Mars bar for a sign-on fee. I thought I was
Wow.
professional.
See, you're saying there you're a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
See, as a well, as a defender, he can make a bad pass or a bad teammate can rescue him. You let in a goal that you know you should have saved.
Yeah.
As if the keeper in the world does. How do you react to that? What do you do to keep your confidence up?
You just gotta kind of shake it off and just know that you've got a whole game to make it up. Yeah, you made a mistake, but you could save nine shots and can like have one mistake, and everyone's going to remember that mistake. Whereas, yeah, as you said, a striker or like a defender could, a striker could miss nine shots and score one goal, and everyone rants and raves about it. Think, oh yeah, but if a goalkeeper, the other way around, if a goalkeeper makes nine saves and concedes one with a horrific mistake, they're always going to remember that. It's just knowing that it's, I always taught again, it's just that reaction. You just got to react. You make a mistake, react positively. Keep out your head. Yeah, think about it. I was always taught that when you've got a quiet moment in the game, kind of go back to that position where you were, look where you were, thinking how you have done better, and then you just move on from it and then talk about it after the game.
Nail it, destroy the rest of the game.
Yeah, you just keep to your basics. So I think one reason I was signed on was because, yeah, I made mistakes, but I was still looking to get the ball off my defender. I was still speaking. I was still coming out for it, even though I dropped it. I was still trying to be that positive influence.
A goalkeeper's got nowhere to hide, is he?
No, that's exactly it. You've got players in front of you, and you've got fans behind you as well. You're literally sandwiched in between it. You can't hide. You've got to stand big.
So, after you polished off your Mars bar, or have you kept it and framed it?
No, I scoffed that one.
How long was you at the Broccoli start chapter on the first team door?
So, I got loaned out to Brock United the first year I was there. And then, I think, so, I was always training with the keepers, but I didn't get on the bench until, I think it was later on that season. The one I remember was playing at Cove, at their old ground. Is it Douglas Park? Allen Park, that's it.
Douglas Park's small town, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Allen Park. I remember playing on the bench there. Joe was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was almost going to get put on because I remember Joe came out, absolutely wiped out a boy, got a pen against him, got booked. And then the second half, they did the exact same thing. I was like, uh-oh, I thought he was going to get sent off there. That was like the one moment where I was like, realised, oh, I'm actually on the fringes. But I think Scotty Q broke his finger, and that's why I was there.
Okay.
I think Scotty Q was the first choice at that time.
Okay. So, can you remember when you made your debut then?
It was for Martin, against for Martin. I was 17, so what would that have been? 2015, maybe?
Okay.
2015. I remember it because it was like the game of the week. I think Russell scored like an overhead kick on his back.
Mm-hmm.
One to make a 1-0, and then Joe was in goals, and he came out for a ball, and I think he collided with Heiser and he got knocked out, or he got badly injured, and he played like, I think it was like 2 minutes left of the first half, and then he came off, and then I was told, oh, you need to get ready because you're coming on. So yeah, it's for Martin. I can't remember, it must have been about February time, I think.
Okay. So, see, if you're told in the morning of the day you're starting,
mm-hmm.
you've got preparation time. How do you prepare just coming off the bench? You've got great kids that you're going on. How do you, you've no time to prepare, sorry. How do you just sort of get yourself geared up to go?
I think for me, it's good because I've got no time to think about it, no time to have like that anxiety, the worry, thinking, oh God, what if I make up? You're just like, you're there, you're in it. You just got to do it. I think that's more, you just literally, as soon as you cross that line, you get the gloves on, that ball hits your hand, like you get the ball at your feet, it's just pretty much muscle memory. It's literally just get the job done. I think it's more anxious if you know you're going to play, you're in the warm-up and you have that bad warm-up, you think, uh-oh, this is going to be a struggle, I'm not going to be good in this game. But because I'm coming off the bench, mm-hmm. I had like five volleys or something like that in half time, felt good, I thought, all right, let's go. I think it's just that kind of just going in and just going head first. That's how you just got to do it. You got a job to do and just do it. Don't worry about it. And again, I was 17. I kind of had the idea that in my head that, well, no one's expecting me to be an absolute world beater, but I want to show I can be.
Mm-hmm. So did you, in that debut, did you get time to enjoy it or was the game just flashed past?
Flew by. That 45 minutes absolute flew by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember the score?
1-1. We finished 1-1. Kept a clean sheet, arguably, even though both goals in the first half. But because I remember, I think that was when Hunter was the manager. I think that was the first time. No, it wouldn't have been the first time. But yeah, Hunter was the manager for Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because I remember seeing the interview and it said that he had no idea that I was playing. Like, they didn't even notice they changed goalkeepers.
Well, that was good of him.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. But I think I can remember some bits of that game, but it just flew by. I've always been looking for the recording of it because I knew it was a PNJ game. I remember the cameras being there, but I've never actually properly watched it back.
See Hunt's comments there, you could take the backhanded compliment, but you coming on, he didn't know it's a change, certainly didn't weaken the team, did it?
No, yeah, exactly. Didn't.
So there's a compliment in there for you as well.
There we go. I'll take that. Thank you.
Absolutely. So that was your first off the bench. When was your first start?
I don't think it came until after a few years. I'm trying to think. It was before COVID, so it would have been. I think it was Rothes at Bell's Lea, the Wednesday night game. I think that was my first game I
Under the
played
lights.
under the lights at the Bell's Lea. Yeah, and we won 2-1 that day.
Good.
I remember pulling off a save at 1-0 down, and it felt like $1 million that day. But that was the only save I'd have made the whole game. But then it came crashing down because I'm pretty sure the next day, next Saturday, we played Lottiemouth at home and we lost 4-0, and I had an absolute howler. So,
The highs and the lows, I bet there.
yeah, feel $1 million, and you feel okay, yeah, back to normality.
So you make your debut.
Yeah.
What is your, do you have a set pre-match routine?
No, but I always put, if I put pairs on, so socks, boots, my shin pads, my gloves, I always put the left one on first of the pair.
Oh, okay.
That's probably the only thing that I do the exact same every pre-match. Yeah, that's it. Just the put
Okay.
left
So
on.
you've no weird superstitions or rituals or anything like that, no?
No, that's pretty much it. I remember younger, I used to like touch the crossbar twice, but it's one of those where I just think I could do it, but I completely forget about it after a couple of games. But the left, everything that I put on left is stuck with me no matter what.
So you touch the crossbar after you can finally reach
Yes, after I finally
it.
reach it, yeah. I showed off because I've touched it twice, so I'd jump and tap it twice just to show off that I could actually touch it.
See, you do your pre-match warm-up, you come back in. What do you do for that 5 minutes before you come out? Are you a chatty person, or do you like a wee bit of on your own time? How would it work for you?
I like to kind of visualize the game in my head. I like to kind of have like positive visuals, think of like good stuff that's going to happen. Just kind of get myself in that zone. And it's when the referee whistle like knocks on the door to say come on, that's when I'll start chatting and start kind of. I've got myself in the zone now.
Okay. So everywhere around you, onto the park, most players get an early touch to get them going. What kind of settles you doing if you just say Brock's attacking for a while? What kind of settles you doing in my game before you get a touch? Is there anything you do?
No, just I think just speaking. It's just that kind of speaking, get yourself in embedded in the game. Because I've noticed that there's a huge the huge difference between the Brock and like the boys' club level is that you're gonna get next to zero touch. There's some games you probably get like five touches with the ball at your feet and you get zero shots. So you don't even get that. But it's just kind of speaking. That's again that didn't grow into my game until I got much, much older. It's just speak yourself into the game, get yourself bedded, get up with the speed of the game, and then when that ball comes back, make sure it's a nice positive touch at your feet or just a clean catch, and that's just you happy as Larry.
We spoke earlier about if you're not used for a long time, like you just said, the Brock's attacking, it's that concentration thing again.
Yeah, concentration. That being with St. Johnstone and then going into the Brock, that was when the concentration just developed. Kind of learn how to keep concentrated, learn how to like again what I was saying about commentating on the game and thinking what would I do if I was on the ball, who would I pass to, and like all that type of stuff. Just trying to understand what's in front of
Now, a goalie can be quite a lonely spot, but you must get a lot of laughs because you're so close to the fans, home and away sometimes. Do you get a lot of banter for, well, let's go away first. Do you get a lot of banter or chuntering for home fans?
me. I think the worst one was Wick away, and it was just this one old woman giving me absolute dog's abuse. It's just one old woman. I was like, well, what is happening? Yeah, you get some good banter. It's always more like the southern teams that would give you that banter back. A lot of the time, they've just kind of keep themselves to themselves.
Okay.
But no, that wicker She stays fresh in my head every time. Absolute dog's abuse is that.
She probably went hey, Marty.
Yeah, she probably did. She. Plus, I think Wick won the day, actually.
I'm sure the Brock won a game on the way, did it?
No, Wick won 2-1, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, that's even more abuse for
him. Yeah, it's...
What about a team, if you've maybe let in a goal that was... You should have saved. Do you get any chanting for the Brock fans?
From the side, yeah, but I kind of just keep it blank. I would always kind of turn back and just kind of joke as like, oh, I probably should have saved that. He goes, yeah. I think the best one I could think of was when we played up at Clark. I think we won 3-2, and there was one I thought, oh, do I should have saved that? I looked at one of the fans, and he's like, yeah, I think you should have saved that. But so it wasn't like abuse or anything. He kind of just went, yeah. It's kind of like kind of sympathetic kind of thing. Is, oh, shit, I should have done better than that. You probably should have done that. But yeah, I just kind of ignore everything around me. I can't really hear anything around me. I just, because my focus is on the pitch. If I turn around, I might just say something to someone, like speak to them for a little second, but I don't even know what they say because I'm too focused on the game.
Of course, you can always walk out to the edge of your box if a Brock's attacking, give yourself a bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah, I can disappear from them.
So, you've said, up till now, you know, a striker, as you said earlier, can miss 9 goals, 9 chances, score a screamer, and be remembered for it. What would you say the best save you've made, or the most important save you've made in the context of game that you think of? You hadn't been expecting that question, eh?
No. The Fermartin game, because a lot of those saves, we kept it 1-1. But I think the one that always came into my head was that Rothes game when we won 2-1 at Bellesley.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of pulled that save out of nowhere, where literally it was just instinct and it touched on the post to keep it 1-0, and then we moved on to win the game. That was when I think that was the most important save, because it kind of showed myself, I don't know if it showed anyone else around me, but it showed me that I was actually capable of playing at that level. It's not like, I don't think it's a save that would anyone would look back on thinking, oh, that was like, that saved the whole game. Mm-hmm. That's the same to me that kind of went, okay, yeah, I could actually play at this level. I'm actually capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm. So keepers do a lot of good things that the fans very seldom ever notice. You see a lot of touch on the post or a lot of touch out of bar, and it's maybe some point in the game you're maybe 1-0 doing it, saves you can 2-0
yeah.
And get back into the game. So it's a pretty lonely position being a goalie.
Yeah, it's very, very lonely. But that's why we've got that little union. We all know it's a lonely position, so we all kind of back each other.
The little mad union.
Yeah. Speaking about our wee gloves, what gloves have you got today? We've got this one. It's more like a little tea break. We just chat away like a couple old ladies with a tea and biscuits.
So you're in the park. You're opposite number. You can see him. He has a howler of a game. I know you're wanting to win him. Do you ever hear a little bit of sympathy for him?
Oh, 100%. You always got like a little sympathy for him. It's because we're not against each other, pretty much, if you think about it. We're two opposite positions. You feel. I always applaud. If a keeper pulls off a great save, I'll be the first to applaud it. And I'll be the first one to go up to the goalie the other half and just speak to him after the game. But yeah, it's horrific when you see them. But it's also good at the same time because you're winning.
Aye.
It's like we're winning, but you think, oh, that poor kid, you know what he's going through after those couple of hours. You just tell him to get his head up, that's all.
Yeah, I know, and you know, you've been there, you can sympathise, you can feel for these feeling. And as you say, your little union is, what do goalies say to end the game? Obviously, two goalies coming a lot long. What do you say to each other?
You just say, oh, you had a great game, mate. Or if you've had a howler, you might say, oh, what do you think about that? And he goes, oh, yeah. I think you could have done better here or there, but it's mostly just like, you did good, mate. Always talking about just pretty, no one else understands the position, I think. So it's just kind of that you can take criticism off each other because you know they know what they're talking about. Yeah, other people do know what they're talking about, but sometimes it just feels a bit better coming from an actual goalie.
As you say, somebody understands it. Now, yeah. Monday and Wednesday night, the guys are training. How does your training differ for the guys?
So we separate entirely for like the first maybe 45 minutes of training. So they'd be doing, I think they go do their warm up, they do their stretches, they'll do like some runs, like hurdles, all that type of stuff, and then we'll go into possession. But goalies will do like a little warm up, and then we'd warm up our hands, so we'd go into like a volley sequence, get all warmed up. That's our warm up, just the volleys, just get our hand eye in, and then it's literally we'd take shots against each other, or we'd focus on footwork, just depending on the day. But yeah, it's completely different from outfield work. I think it's more fun than outfield work because A, we don't need to run about for God knows how long, and we get absolute welly balls at each other and just do what we love.
Cool. You right footed, Eddie, aye?
Is that, yeah, I'm right footed, aye.
How good are you at kicking with left foot?
My left half volley, I think it's probably better than my right volley.
Okay.
My left foot's all right. It's not the greatest, but my left foot half volley, I think I've got a few of my goalies right now could clarify that my left foot right volley is absolutely lethal.
Aye, okay, because there's a lot of goalies, I mean, the very one right foot and the ball comes back to the left side.
Aye.
It's a bit of a calamity, but you're competent with both.
I'm very confident both, yeah. There's something I'm getting into, like the young keepers, is that you've got to practice on both feet. Mm. Yeah, you're good with your right foot, but you've got to be good with your left foot. You got to be that confident when it comes back to you.
So you're commenting on a young keeper. Now, you're also the goalkeeper coach of the club as well.
Yes, that's correct.
How did that come about and what did you do?
So it came about the past 2 years I've been struggling with an injury. Been struggling with my hip. We thought it was my groin, but it turned out to be my hip, where I just couldn't do what I used to be able to do. My kind of mobility in my right leg kind of started disappearing. The strength wasn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
And when I dive on it was just getting to real pain. It was just quite annoying because I knew what I could do, I knew what I was capable of doing, but my body's just hindering me. So while I was out, I would help Swano with the goalies. So Swano was the goalie coach the last couple of years. I'd help him with like services and like even speak to him about drills. He goes, "Oh, what do you think we could do?" He goes, "Oh, I've got this drill, I want to try it." So I was like an assistant coach last season. And when Swano decided that he was leaving, Mark and Bax came up to me saying, "We think you'd be a good fit as a coach if you'd like to try it." And I was like, "Oh, I would like to try it." It was something that I've always wanted to do, but never like, I didn't think about doing it at 25. But I feel like I'm growing into the role and actually really enjoying my football again, even though the injury's still there, but it's not hindering as it used to. But it's kind of, it's nice to have that goalie role that I can actually pass on what I learned at 16, pass on to those young keepers and try and help them as the keepers I was growing up with did.
You must have got fed up. Were you asking every week how was your injury coming on?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just one of those things where people's like, "Oh, so what's your injury?" It goes, at the time, like I was telling you, he was like, "I have no idea what it is." We thought I think every time you asked how it changed body part. It was one week it was my groin, one week it was my hip, one week it was God knows what it was. But yeah, it's good now. It feels good. It's just more of it. Will it be good if called upon? I'm sure it will be. It'll be fine. I'll just battle through.
So you take a young lads. How much young goalkeepers have we got? You must have at least four of it. Or five?
We've got three at the moment. Three young keepers that are signed. And then we've got two other young ones, but they're more, they just come in and out every other Monday. But I've got three young keepers who are there all the time, and I've got Joe. So I've got young Sam, 17, Dan, who's 17, and I've got Billy Gordon's young loon, Liam, who's 16. So that's my three, and then Joe, of course, old man Joe.
What sort of things, do you specialise in certain things, or do you just see if they're not quite so good at and work on their weaknesses, if that's a proper phrase?
Yeah, work on what they're, you feel like that they could work better on. Yeah, exactly that. I'd ask them a lot. It's like, what do you feel like you need to work on? Because I can't see them on a Saturday, which is, I'd love to be able to. I wish they played on like a Sunday or something so I can watch them as much so I can actually understand what they're struggling with. But just ask them. It's like, what do you feel like you need to work on? They say it, and then I kind of structure a training session on it. I think I know what most of them need work on right now. So I've been, this past 2 weeks, there's been a lot of emphasis on what their weakness is. And you've seen that they are getting a bit more confident in themselves.
Yeah, well, I see them. I watch all the 18s and the 21s game. They're excellent keepers.
Yeah, they've got a really good future of them.
Loads of potential in them.
Yeah, especially, yeah.
Are they good at reacting to bad mistakes?
They've got that little bit of youngsters where they make a mistake and they go into that shell. That's the one thing. That's the big thing I've been trying to get out of them. They're going better, right? But yeah, I've noticed when they make a mistake, they do kind of get annoyed. They kind of seem to disappear at the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, they're 16, 17. They've got years and years to start learning their trade.
Oh, that's for sure. But the thing I like about youngsters, and I mean this in a really nice way, youngsters have a bit of arrogance about them.
Yeah.
Which I love to see them in. And I think they probably be able to shrug off things. But a young lad coming in an important game, big mistake, can hit way heavily on their shoulders. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. That's why you just got kind of, you just got to kind of put your arm around them and just tell them, hey, I think it's the best learning curve they could get, really. And then show them that if they can respond positive to that, they can come back from that mistake. You can come back from anything. It doesn't matter. But look at young Sam. Went up to Broda, came on, played the cup final at Bucky, mm-hmm. and he didn't look like a duck out of water. He just looked like he belonged there. But again, yeah, he's young. Yeah. He is. But yeah, it's just that. It just shows them that you are capable of doing it. And if you make a mistake...
Absolutely. I remember that game, Sam, come on, up at Brora. Right. Huge, huge game in the context of the league. And he performed that. And then, as you say, his second game is a cup final. Winning the medal.
Okay, I wish I had my second game was a cup final.
That's Roy the Rover stuff.
It is, yeah. I think not many 17-year-olds could say that. And he went to school the next day as well. What's better than that?
Did he take his medal to school?
I don't know, but I would have. I would have worn it around my neck.
Oh, I would have, absolutely. I think I'd have been in the assembly hall that day waiting for what to come down and see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just shows how good at Boers Wilfrid Club you've got young lads like that.
Yeah.
Can come off a bench in a huge game and play well.
Yeah, exactly. It just shows it's the Brock through and through, isn't it? That they get the young players in, keep it local. And yeah, the future for the club's looking good.
I would say. Now, I spoke about good goals. You've been a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But you're watching, just say you was watching Rotha's game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Are you watching a match or are you studying Joe?
I was
a bit of both.
Yeah, a bit of both. So when Rotha's have got the ball, I'll be studying Joe. Like I'd be looking at his start position, looking at his... shot position, so when the ball comes closer. But I'm like any other supporter, I'll be watching the game. So now and then I glance back to Joe, see where he is, and all that.
Oh, pardon me. Mm-hmm. And do you enjoy a chat after the game about the game?
Now and then we do, yeah, but it's mostly half time. I'll speak to him when he's coming off the pitch, just like give him little keywords and all that type of stuff. And then after the game, yeah, we chat about it, but I prefer to do it on the Monday because it's you have that kind of time to just think about it and then come back and then kind of mm-hmm. more evaluate it afterwards.
Good. Now, as football players, there's all sorts of injuries. Do goalies tend to have different sort of injuries to players of that max any sense?
Yeah. Fingers, that's a huge one. I've broken my pinky. I think that's the only break I've had, but severely stared my thumbs, so I've got really weak thumbs, wrist problems, my hip, of course, my hips, groins as well, because I do a lot of sideward movement, so goalkeepers don't really pull their hammy as much, but yeah, mostly groins, fingers being the big one, but we just tape it up normally and just keep going with it.
Occupational hazard.
Exactly, because that'll be fine, just pop it back in and we're all good.
Ouch, I'm cringing just thinking now. So I think you guys didn't get much, you don't have a lot of collisions with players, apart from maybe corners going for headers.
Yeah, corners going for headers, but to be fair, because we're jumping, our full body weight's going that way, and we get a stick our knee up as well, which is a blessing. There's not actually that much collisional.
Mm-hmm.
To it, knees up, but a lot of the time it's diving at the feet, that's the dangerous part.
So I guess you just go in and sit there, you didn't think, but you just do it.
Yeah, you just do it. I've been wellied in the head a few times. I think the best one I can remember is when we played Cowden Beath in the, was it the Challenge Cup we played them?
Yeah, they beat us in the last minute. It was our first
First shot goal. Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah, I made an absolute, I spilled the free kick and I literally just, there was a crowd of players in front of me, but I just literally ran and just dived on top of that ball. And I got absolute wellied off the side of the head. The boy full on struck my head and he went down in more pain than I did. So that just shows you that it's just kind of, because you're so focused on that ball getting it. And I came back the next day and I had a black eye for God knows how long.
I suppose adrenaline just gets you through it.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's that thing where you just love getting hit as a goalie. You got to have that screw loose and just love that kind of the barbaric nature.
Next time I see you, I'll be going shouting, "Hello, screw loose, how are you there?" So I guess I'll be speaking with the under-18s at a fantastic game last week. They beat Stirling and Albion.
Aye, brilliant.
And the result is we've got a big match on Friday night against the Rangers and under the fourth round of the Scottish Cup.
I know, that's impressive. It's really, Beano's, you know, big team as well. I remember playing against the Beano's when I was at St Johnstone. They had a good under-18s back then. So it just shows how good of a youth we had. I think back in my day when I was playing 20s, I think we got to play the likes of Aberdeen and we got to play Ross County as well, but we never got a chance to play the actual like Celtic and Rangers back then. So it's going to be a big learning curve for them. I'm actually quite jealous. I wish I was like 17 again, but...
And you were there casting your eye over a goalie, so...
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there with my goalies, my wee kittens, as I call them.
So as a goalie, go and rate your top three goalies in world football that you've seen in a brief description why you've placed them 1, 2, and 3.
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my number one. Who's my number three? Who would I put third? Like, you could go the classics and go like Buffon, Neuer, Casillas. But I think third for me, just because, as we said earlier in the podcast, how much of an influence he had when I was growing up, third for me is Boric.
Oh, why?
Because the influence he had on me growing up, the influence of like how I'd want to like rep my game on him. And just like his confidence. Like, I remember watching Champions League games with him, like playing against Milan or against United. I remember him saving the penalty against Saha. Just him such a presence in the goal. So that's why he's number three for me. I know he's nowhere near the top 20 or 30 in the world, but number two, it would be number two would be, it's got to be Manuel Neuer. And he was the guy that created this modern goalkeeper we see today. Neuer, the 2010 World Cup. No, sorry, the 2014 World Cup. He was just a different animal. He was this goalkeeper that would come out for everything. Even his Schalke days back in 2010, he was doing that. But everyone started to realize that a goalkeeper could be that 11th man, the extra man, that ball his feet. Defenders can stay high, the goalkeeper can sweep it behind, and of course his shot stopping is probably the best in the world. Probably Neuer, if he wasn't injured, didn't get injured, he'd still be that top goalkeeper in the world right now. It's just that got that ability. And then number one is, for me, the greatest keeper there's ever been. Well, I'm too young to ever watch like Kahn or Schmeichel, all that type of stuff. I know they were great, but to me, number one was always Iker Casillas, just because we were about the same height. I think he's just a bit taller, but he wasn't that big of a goalkeeper, but he was quick. His reactions were insane. His positioning was, I remember I was watching against the Liverpool game. I think they've lost 4-0, I think, but Casillas kept it from being like 12.
Okay.
It's just I always remember his save against, I think he did the exact same save twice against Sevilla, like 2 years apart, where he covered the goal. It's so quick. And it showed me when I was younger, like, you got these 6'4" goalkeepers that just need to spring and they'll cover the goal. But you got these small keepers that you got to be quick. You've got to have really quick feet to be able to cover the goal. And Casillas was just that idol of mine that I'd watch him move so quick. And again, the 2010 World Cup was a big one because he was captain of Spain, but everyone was questioning why he was. Like, they thought he wasn't capable of being a captain of a national team, and he goes and wins the World Cup. Goes pulls off that save against Robin as well to win the World Cup. So it's just his, yeah, he's able to come from adversity and still be one of the best keepers in the world.
Cool. Who's yet the best Scottish keeper you've seen, a national keeper?
Best national goalkeeper. It's got to be Craig Gordon, no? I think even when he was younger, Craig Gordon was insanely good. And then he just seemed to age like a fine wine. And when he came back from that knee injury, something about Craig is just, I just love the way he plays. Although Alan McGregor as well, he's another great Scottish goalkeeper. Just to show that, both of them just show that if you look after yourself at old age, you can play it to how long you want. Yeah, he had his knee injury, but yeah, it's just, those two goalkeepers are great.
I mean, Dino Zoff captained the Italian World Cup squad to the victory when he was 40.
Yeah, exactly. Buffon didn't retire till he's, what, 45, 44?
So there you go. Now, I'm glad that 1-2-3 had just led me into nicely till I think you know what's coming next.
I think so.
Okay, so we're pretty much the best 11 plus a few subs that you've played with or seen, and just a brief description why just well, I play with start happy goalie. So, in your opinion, the best goalie that you've seen or played with? Well, the ones you've played with, probably.
There's so many good goalkeepers. Like, I could pick every single one. You know, I've had Alan Manis, Steve Banks. Leeski, of course, probably one of the best Highland League goalkeepers. Scotty Q, Joe as well. Like, I was lucky to have been able to train with all these keepers. But the one keeper that I'm going to put in, mainly because he was so good for me when I was at St. Johnson, that young keeper that had no idea what he was doing, and the way he kind of took me under his arm, his wing, and just kind of taught me his what he knew and how to get better. So I'd pick Mark Hurst, Hursty. He was a goalkeeper that I took a lot off of. He taught me everything, taught me a lot. What I didn't know, if I was ever lost, I would always come to him and ask him. And of course, I've seen him play a few times. He's just so calm. He's one of these keepers that no matter what, nothing fazed him. He was so calm. He was so clean, everything he did. And he was so commanding. It was just, I'm going to pick him.
Okay. And now here's you in the same position, passes on your expertise to the young lads.
It just shows how much of an influence he had. I've now kind of taken on his role and kind of tried to pass on as much as I can to young ones.
Right, let's get your defence sorted next.
All right.
Any information you want, it's up to you. It's your team.
I'm going to play three at the back. I'm going to go all Italian style. So in the middle, I want to, in the sweeper role, I'm going to put Boomer. Boomer probably one of the best defenders I played with, and especially in the Highland League as well. Just his knowledge of the game, his like experience and all that type of stuff, being a captain as well, just everything Boomer did is just, and his shot power was ferocious. The amount of times I've tried to stop it, I think I broke my wrist almost so many times trying to save his shots. he bled for the Brock, and it's just a shame that, you know, he came back. How many knee injuries did he come back from as well?
Or quite a few.
It just shows how much dedication and drive you can get. And he just, I think Boomer's got to be in that middle of the defence.
Okay.
Next to him, I got to put Heiser.
Okay.
Honestly, one of the best, probably in the last two decades of the Highland League. I don't know. I wasn't there in 2010s, but Heiser, just his power, his strength, he's quick, he can really game, just defending ability, and of course that heading is just, it'd be stupid not put Heiser in there.
Okay.
And then to finish off the three, I'm going to put someone I played with when I was at St. Johnson under 18s, and it was Jason Kerr.
Jason Kerr.
Yeah, he was the captain for St. Johnson, and then he moved down to Wigan. But at under 18s level, you can see he was destined to be up there. He was just, there's not many 17-year-olds that could just run a back four and be so dominant against any striker. It makes football easy when you've got players in front of you like that. You know, you can trust and do whatever you want with them. And so he's got to be in there as well. That's my back three.
Right. What are you doing for midfield?
I'm going to play a five in midfield.
Okay.
So my two holding players. So I'm going to put Granty Campbell.
Okay.
Honestly, probably huge reason, amongst other things, but just his expertise when we won that league. Just him in that middle of the field, just an absolute marshal. He was just technically good. He's able to read the game. He was so clever at that. Being able just to keep the ball moving, passing, and just understanding certain things. And it's also good to kind of bounce stuff off of him if you had no idea what to do, or like you didn't know what about this, you just ask him. He's able to help you. So next to him, I'm going to put Dino. He can carry. He's got Dino's probably still. If he didn't have a bad knee, he could probably still be playing it now. He's still got that technical ability and just that able to understand the game. He's like the same as Granty, but I think he's played what? He's short. He's played what? League One, League Two period. It's just his prowess. He's just a great player, and also one of those players that you could speak to and ask questions, and he'd be able to help you. So that's my two holding. Well, three in front of them. I've got another one from St. Johnstone, who one of the him on the ball was just insane to watch. Dylan Easton. So he's now at Wraith, but he was at St. Johnstone in the 20s when I was training there, and his technique from the dead ball, his ability just to. It looks so simple, but he's able to just turn a defender inside out just by just moving his body. He could cut on his left foot or cut on his right, cross with his left, cross with his right. He could shoot with his left, shoot with his right. He could find your feet no matter where you are. It was just incredible to watch. He's one of those players that you could ping the ball into and it just sticks. Like, yeah, it one of the best technically gifted players I've actually ever probably seen is Easton. I'm surprised he didn't go that far since, but yeah, it looks like he's doing a really good job of race right now.
Good.
My other two, so for this season especially, but I played with him a lot in like the under 20s when he was coming up to the ranks. Watched him a lot of, like to the first team, but this year especially, it's got to be Logan Watt. I think this is the best season I've ever seen him, and hopefully kicks on from it. He's been outstanding. He's just something about him. He's just seen him mature his game, and I think the best game this season was Clack up there. I thought he was extraordinary. Just like you could put him in midfield, plays amazing, or you could put him on the wing, he could play amazing. And it's what I think he's what 18, 19, maybe. I might be lying. I need to ask him that. But yeah, he's got so much ahead of him. So
Yeah, good game
he's
yesterday again.
yeah, he had a brilliant game. And again, playing in midfield, and then if you need to, you put him on the wing. He's just
He's
that
just maturing.
versatile. Yeah,
He
exactly. He's just
he's getting
maturing.
better and he's filled out. Right, who else have we got?
To complete it, I've got to put Paul Young, the engine that is Paul Young, one of the best midfielders that doesn't seem to ever run out of steam. He just seems to be everywhere. I don't think there's a blade of grass that he's not covered 10 times over in the Bellsley. That's just how good he is. Yeah, just insane. So yeah, that's my five midfield, and then my two up top. I had to get him in. I didn't know how to get him in, but you've got to get him in. Is Mr. Brock himself, Willie West. I'm gonna play him up top. I always remember the game he played. Local when we played locals up at Cove's ground in the cup final, he played up top, and I think he played this defense for a bit and then he moved up top. It's just the versatility again. He's able to play left back, center half, center mid, or striker. Just and then if he plays up top, you know he's going to give you a shift no matter what. And also being able to keep playing even when he's getting older, he's still at that peak condition. And it's a good testament for those young players coming through as well that just, do that hard work outside the football and you're just going to get even better and better.
Absolutely. Another lad had a cracking game yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. It just shows like he hasn't played for a few games and he's came in and he's just able to just do what he does. Mr. Reliable, as I say. And then to finish it off is a striker that. Honestly, I think anytime the ball's at his feet, you knew it was going to go in the back of the net. And that's Chris Kane, who is still actually at St. Johnstone, striker. He was growing up, when I was at St. Johnstone with him, he knew he was destined to be like a top goal scorer, destined to be playing for Saints. Just his ability to bully defenders, connect players into games, link up with players, and just his finishing was insane. probably the best knuckleball players, like people are able to put knuckle on a ball, is him. He was just, yeah. And he's quick as well. He was strong and he's quick, just like a perfect balance of a player.
Perfect combination, that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, that's your first 11. I'll give you five subs.
Five subs. So, same as Willie. I'm going to put Risey in there. Good left back, you know, Mr. Brock as well. Absolute weapon of a left foot, but also like what he does outside the game is getting himself better and helping those around him as well. During COVID, it just showed how important it was to have him, how important it was having that person to get us all fit and match ready to then come into that next season and win the league. I think it's the fittest I've ever been. And it's just, yeah. And again, it's a testament to those young players around him that, you know, if you work hard, you will work. Hard work pays off in the end. Who else am I putting there? Beegs, Jamie Beegree. Like, he had an amazing game until his nose got absolute pulverized. But
he was excellent. He never missed a bar.
Dominant. And again, he's a player that you could put in midfield and he'd do an absolute job. You know, he's so versatile again. I thought we were going to miss him, but again, we've got such a good team that someone else could take it. Like, Kiso can come in and take his role no matter what. Who else? I had a young... Actually, he played for Bonnie Rig. Well, he actually scored that goal. I think it was the equaliser. Angus Mailer. He played with him under 18s, and he was never technically good. He was never this player that you think, oh, he's an absolute baller. But he was like a mix of Paul Young and Granty, where he's got an engine on him and he just runs into players. He doesn't care no matter what. He would just run through a brick wall if he needed to.
Yeah, okay.
Even at that young age, he was able to do that. But I think he took that step back. Playing wise, he went down a level, and then now he's found himself playing League Two. So it just shows that setbacks are going to happen, but it's how you react to it, it's how you get up to it. So that's why I'm going to put him in there. And then he scores an absolute pearler against us, so that's a fun one for him.
Two left.
I've got to get a sub goalie in there.
Well, I was just wondering if there's going to be a goalie there.
Well, I got to put a sub goalie in there. Again, so many of them. But I think it's got to be Leeske.
Okay.
Just training with him for 4 years, 5 years, however long it is, just his handling is insane. Like, you could hit a ball 100 miles an hour and it's going to stick. His kicking from his hands, his kicking from the deck, left foot, right foot, his game is brilliant. He was especially when a young kid coming in, that was very, like, it's just someone to learn off of. And I felt I improved a lot training alongside him. My handling got a lot better because I watched him and I was trying to keep up with him. I was trying to catch as many balls, if more than him, as I could. And that benefited me more, that my handling got a lot better training with him.
Good lad to learn from it.
Yeah, exactly. He's been there, done that. And yeah. And number five.
Now, before you say number five, your last one, could be a few folk listening. Come on, Eddie, why am I in your team? Come on, Eddie, you should be playing. So no pressure on the last one.
Pressure. It's got to be Fig.
Okay.
I've got to have a striker in there, and it's Fig. His goal-scoring record shows it, doesn't it? How good he is. His hold-up play, it just shows how good he is. And... yeah, I've seen him score some absolute worldies with that left peg.
Oh, he scored some beauties.
Out of absolute nowhere. It just goes in the back of me. It's like, what? But even I see it in the warm-ups, see him in training as well. Just his ability to hit that ball and it'll go where he wants it. It's just, yeah, I've got a bit fig. There's like so many players I could put in. But I think that's my squad.
Okay, right. The last thing with your team is, we need a manager to keep his guys under control. So who's your manager?
Who's my manager? Oh, so many good managers I've been with.
Now, look at a bit of pressure for you.
Yeah, I know, huge pressure. Again, I'm just going to base it off of who helped me a lot as a young player, young keeper, who kind of helped develop me as much as he can, was my youth coach, Danny Griffin. He's played international for Northern Ireland, played God knows how many games for St Johnstone. It just his ability to develop players and push them to become the best they could. I've got to put him in just because what he did for me as a young player helped me develop and become the keeper I am today.
Okay, I was painless and easy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's why I kept postponing it for a week and a week because give me a week and I've got, still got to figure this all out.
Right, you'll no doubt the next time you hit a change of rooms. Hey, why am I not in your team?
I won't make eye contact, so I'll just keep my head down, put my hood up.
You can't pick up, do you?
No, you
Now,
can't, no.
the Bróg goalies apart, Eddie, what keepers are you liking in the Highland League at the moment?
Right now, I really like, is it, I think it's the Turriff keeper, David Day. Is it David Day? I like watching him. I liked his style. He looks confident. Looked really confident coming out for crosses. His ability to kick the shots off him is good. Of course, you've got, even though I think he's not playing right now, but going to the league, Joe Marlon was always the name that was on the tip of everyone's tongue. He was always a great keeper, Marlon, but I think he's not playing right now. I think it's the boy from Ross Kenny that's taking his place. Yeah, I think right now it's a ton of goalie. I do like the way he plays. I like how he just there's something some people I look at and think, oh, that's so annoying how much you look like a goalkeeper. Like you just because he's tall. It's like I wish I looked like that. I wish I'd look like an actual goalie, not like someone who's just like being picked out the crowd because I just cover for a game.
All right, we're going to finish off with a few quick fair questions for you.
Okay.
This is just whatever comes off the top of your head. It's a bit right. Apart from the Brock, obviously, favorite team.
Favorite team is A United.
Yeah. Oh, why are you United?
A United because my dad was from, well, he was brought up from down that way. And it was a game I remember we went to together, was Ayr versus Peterhead. And he, yeah, I just watched it, fell in love, and just went to, first time I ever went to Glebe Park was for a playoff final. I think it was back in 2010, was the League One to Championship. Well, it was back to, that was Division One back in the day. Playoff final, A United versus Brechin. And we scored like a last minute winner. And I remember jumping on the pitch to celebrate. So A United is something that just kind of stuck with me. And it stuck with me since, even though we're struggling this season, which is quite annoying, but can't have it all.
Well, I hope you're celebrating the quarter five at Glebe Park again on Saturday.
Oh, so do I. So do I.
Right, your favourite holiday destination?
Favorite holiday destination is Croatia.
Okay.
Love Croatia. I went to Rijeka Peninsula, just that area. And yeah, it just the food's amazing, the beer's amazing, the weather's amazing, the whole area. It just because it's on the Mediterranean, of course. It's just yeah, just everything about that country is just the best.
Okay, well, you probably just answered my next question. If you could go and live in one country, where would it be?
Probably Croatia, yeah.
I thought you might say
Or southern Italy. I might live as, the whole Italian life. Get good wine, good
that.
pasta.
Italy would be me and my wife's choice. We love Italy.
Yeah,
Been there a
love
few
Italy.
times. Favorite music?
I'm a punk boy or punk rock boy, kind of. Everyone, I think everyone that knows me knows that my band's Green Day, so that's my music. But I listen to anything. Literally, I can listen to any type of music, whatever mood I'm in. It could be like the dance music that's in the changing room, or rock, or yeah, anything.
Just
But that's
whatever.
it. Whatever. I've got music taste that's broad.
Okay. Favorite food?
Oh, favorite food. Ooh, I love beef stroganoff or mushroom stroganoff. I'm not too fussed, but I just love stroganoff.
Okay. Me too, I love it now. So is that your favorite stroganoff? Okay.
Gotta be, yeah.
Favorite idea? What's your best idea of a night? A good night out.
Ooh, best idea of a night out. Well, it's got to be in Dundee. I stand by it. It's one of the best cities for a night out.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be watching the scores come in at 3 at the pub. Which pub, though? That's a good question. I think we'll go to the Banks. Is it Bank Inn? No, not the Bank Inn. Anyway, doesn't matter. Watching the scores come in the pub and then just go pub to pub. I love a good pub crawl. I love going pub to pub and kind of seeing how many we can get through, just seeing all the different ones.
There's plenty in Dundee to pub choose for you.
Plenty of them. Some actually great pubs as well in Dundee.
Mm-hmm. Hobbies of off your Fibber?
Hobbies. Well, the guitar. I love playing my guitar. To be fair, football takes up a lot of my time, so I actually don't have a lot of hobbies. Snooker. I play with my dad quite a lot of snooker.
Mm-hmm.
Go down to the hall in Aberdeen. I used to, when during lockdown, I took up a lot of chess. I used to play chess as a young kid, and I came back to it during lockdown. And yeah, that was something that took over a lot of my time. So yeah, I like to get back into chess, but there's not a lot. I could play online, but I prefer being in person. There's something about playing someone in front of you.
Okay. Right. Any regrets in your career? Anything you would have done different?
Would have pushed myself even harder, St Johnson, to get that extra year and try and get to the under 20, see if I could actually have made it pro. That's probably my
goal. Okay.
But I'm here where I am today, so I can't be too fussed.
Mm-hmm. A quick story about my brother from when we were playing amateur league football. He got a letter from St Johnson when it was Muirton Park.
Aye.
Inviting him down for a trial for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he declined to go because he had a hot date on Saturday night. And true story.
Hey, do what you want. Yeah,
never wait because he had a hot date on Saturday night.
I don't blame him. Don't blame him.
So that was his career, his St. George's career up the spout. Right. Here's a thought-provoking question. Tell us one thing about you that not a lot of folk can.
Opa. One thing about me that no one knows. Oh. That's a huge thought-provoking question.
It's a good end towards the end of the podcast.
Great one, isn't it? Great one. I think a lot of people know it, but I do sing and write songs. I was in a band, but not anymore. But yeah, I think that's probably the one thing not a lot of people know about me.
What was the band called?
The band was called Trademarked, but with only an A. There's like only vowel was an A, so TRADMRKD. Yes, I am plotting and putting that and selling that. But yeah, we were just COVID stopped that, but it was just a fun little thing we used to do with mates.
Well, you might revive it at a later date, will you?
Maybe, yeah. Get a Grammy, see?
Mm-hmm. Get a Grammy, yeah. Right, I'm going to finish off with pretty much the same question I ask everybody. What advice would you give to a young goalkeeper coming through just starting in his career at the moment? It says he's 14, 15 year old, just starting out.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Just learn what you can. Don't get disheartened if you make mistakes. That's the only way you're going to grow, you know. Everyone started to make mistakes, and if you learn from it, you're only going to get better. That's, yeah, just enjoy it, make mistakes, learn from the mistakes, and just get as muddy as you can. Jump in those. To be fair, they probably play more in Ashland today, do they?
Right, quite possible.
Yeah, quite possible. Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it and see what it takes, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Eddie, it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you.
No,
having a chat with you.
Pleasure's mine.
Or I'll let's start calling you a new name, Screw Loose.
Screw Loose, right.
And I'll probably see you on Friday night for the under-18s.
Yeah, I shall.
We'll definitely see you on Saturday for the breaking match.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Right, cheers, Wolf.
Right, you take care. Thanks again, pal.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to be involved in the show, or you'd like to nominate somebody who you would like to hear come on the show, get in touch. My name is Willie McKenzie. You can contact me on 07-904-756-332. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes. Thank you.